verse 7.
You are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
And so sometimes, amen, you got to get in a solitary place. Oh, glory to God. Read, daughter.
And Simon and they that were with him followed after him.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had found him, they said unto him.
That's wonderful when people follow after you. Go ahead. Read.
And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he, Jesus, said unto them, let us go into the next towns,
mm-hmm.
that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee.
Somebody say, throughout all of Galilee.
Throughout all of Galilee.
And so here he was. He was going throughout all of Galilee preaching. Oh, glory to God, the gospel. And so now we come back to Mark chapter 2, and the Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum. Somebody say Capernaum. Capernaum. See, because I want you to understand that Jesus was no longer living in Nazareth. Oh, glory to God. A lot of times we look at the Bible and we just think that Jesus, you know, was living in Nazareth this complete time, or that was his location. How can I say this? That was his. How many know that you can have I can preach all over the place, but this church is my. Give me a word. Somebody.
Your home base.
Home base. Exactly. Thank you, Lord. That Capernaum was his home base. Somebody write down Nazareth. Nazareth. Nazareth, write it down. Nazareth. Nazareth. Nazareth means separated. Oh, glory to God. It means to separate. Oh, glory to God. Let me say this here. How many know that could be a good thing or a bad thing? I'm going to say that again. It could be a good thing or a bad thing. There are times when you do need to what? Separate yourself. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. But there are times also when people separate themselves. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that one more time. There are also times when people separate themselves. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he entered into Capernaum. Somebody say Capernaum. Write it down. Capernaum.
Capernaum.
Capernaum means, it means consolidation. It means consolation. It means city of comfort. Also, it means comfort, and it means the field of repentance. Consolidation. I mean, to know what it means to consolidate. It means that you may have 100 bills, and you take those 100 bills, and you bring them, and you make them into one bill.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And then sometimes I believe that we need to consolidate ourselves. Sometimes we're being pulled from all different directions. Amen, somebody. Yes, you're made up. You have a spirit man, you have a soulish man, and you have a fleshly man. And sometimes the flesh wants what he wants. And sometimes the soulish man, the mind, the will, the intellect wants what he wants. Come on, somebody. And then we know the spirit of the Lord God. Amen, somebody. He wants what's right. But there are some times when you gotta, oh glory to God, somebody say consolidate. You gotta pull yourself. Tell somebody, pull yourself together. Pull yourself together. Oh glory to God. Oh glory to God. And so, because here's Christ, he was in Nazareth. What made him relocate to Capernaum? Maybe he felt comfortable there. Oh, glory to God. Because sometimes you look around and you wonder, where are people at? And is it because they don't feel comfortable in the house of God? Amen, somebody. I'm just trying to follow the Holy Spirit. Y'all just say amen every once in a while. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. In a place of repentance, because Capernaum means, because, you know, I was reading this morning, I think I was reading the book of James, and the Lord said, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Come on, somebody. What causes us to separate, hallelujah, to separate ourselves from the Lord? Amen. To be more comfortable in a place called Nazareth, a place of separation. Okay, I won't even go on into that. I think I see where the Lord is having me to go now. Oh, glory to God. But the Bible says that when he got to Capernaum, it was noise that he was in the house. You know, I just believe that God likes to be in places that celebrate him. Because how many know that even when he went to his hometown, they didn't have anything for him but a bunch of questions. Where did you get these powers from? We know your mama. We know your daddy. Come on, somebody. We know you're from here. You know, you ain't nothing but a carpenter's son. You know, what's going on here? All this stuff we're hearing about you being able to teach, and you're going around. You done cooked up a doctrine. Come on. And so they begin to question him. You know, sometimes when you're questioning things, you know, questioning things is a sign of unbelief. But then all of a sudden, he gets to this place called Capernaum. Come on, somebody. And, you know, if you begin to read in chapter 1 there, you'll see that, you know, praise God, the people were already coming to the house. This was before he went on his tour. Oh, glory to God. And so they begin to come to the house, and they were crowding the house, and God was doing great and mighty things. And so now all of a sudden he comes back to town. Oh, glory to God. And all of a sudden now people begin to make some noise. Come on. The Bible says it was noise that he was in the house. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Why would you hide from a God when he's in the house?
Okay.
Oh, glory to God. My God, up in Zion. This noise that he was in the house. And the Bible says straightway. Somebody say straightway. Somebody say immediately. Many were gathered together. Come on, these folks. My God. Don't you wish it was like that on Sunday mornings? Hallelujah. You know, you go and you look at television, sometimes you see the football games, and many folks have gathered together. Come on. They're filling the stadiums. And what's wrong with God's people? Hallelujah. We're still afraid. Come on, somebody. It's amazing, because the world ain't afraid. The world ain't afraid to go to the football games. The world ain't afraid to go to the basketball game. But you got God's people that are still walking around afraid. I'm not going back to church until this thing is over with. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. But I believe that COVID is exposing a whole lot of folks. Oh, glory to God. It's exposing our love for the Lord. It's showing us where we're at as a church. Come on. My God. See, you know, because let me say this here. You got to love sports. Come on. You got to love sports enough to go to the stadium knowing that there's a chance that you just might catch the COVID. Come on, somebody. But then folks are saying, I don't love God enough, come on, to come to God's house. Oh, glory to God, because I'm afraid I might get the COVID. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says the love the love shall wax cold in the last days. I almost felt like preaching then. I got to jump up and down. Somebody, y'all better come get me. Somebody, no. Y'all can chill. Ooh, glory to God.
My God.
Hallelujah. The Bible says they gathered to the point that there was no room to receive. There was no room in the house. Somebody say no room in the house. Oh, glory to God. There was no room in the house. And daughter, so daughter, I want you to read.
Back in Mark 2.
Uh-huh.
It says, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them.
Uh-huh.
No, not so much as about the door. And he, Jesus, preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy.
Sick of the palsy. Paralyzed. Come on. Read.
Which was born on four people.
Four people carrying him. Paralyzed. A paralyzed man. Read.
And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was.
Now, this paralyzed man, we're going to read a little bit later on. You'll find, let me say this, he was on a bed. And the Bible says that there were four men carrying him. Oh, glory to God. There are sometimes, and I said it a little bit earlier, that sometimes a person may have legs, but they can't walk. A person may have a mouth, but they can't talk. Can I say something? There are some times when we have to intercede or stand in the gap or take the place of someone that can't do it for themselves. Okay? This man couldn't get up and come to the meeting. This man couldn't get up and come to the church meeting. Amen, somebody. He was paralyzed. And the Bible says that four men bore him or carried him. Why four? Apparently it took, that's what it took. Because sometimes one person interceding for you, it just might not get it done. Sometimes you may need several people entering into a session with God for you to get your breakthrough. Sometimes you may need several or more people entering into a session with God to help you to break through. There are a lot of people, even as we're sitting up in church, there are a lot of people that are stuck. Come on. There are a lot of people that are paralyzed. There are a lot of people that have laid down. Come on, they laid down in a bed. Come on, somebody. They can't do it on their, you know, okay, all right. All right. Sometimes, yeah, somebody say intervention.
Intervention.
Because when I looked up the word intercession, and one of the meanings is intervention. And there are sometimes when you have people, and some, okay, all right, sometimes we got to make intervention for people because they lack knowledge. See, last night I was sitting there, man, and I was trying to pray last night, and I kept falling asleep, and I couldn't hardly read, and I just realized that, guess what? I was in a battle with the spirit of heaviness, and I just needed to praise God. Come on. And I began to praise God till I got my breakthrough, and even on the way to church, you can ask the brothers that was riding with me, I was still praising God. Why? Because I got some knowledge. I got some knowledge. So, you know, there are times that and what did I say last week? Last week, the Bible says we have known and believed. Come on. When you know something, you don't have to sit around trying to believe it all the time. And this is why you got to get to a place of knowing. Come on. Where you know God. He who loveth God knoweth God. You got to get some knowledge. We're trying to convince people to believe somebody who they don't know. Come on. And so there's a knowing. And so because I knew what the word has to say. Come on, somebody. What does the Bible say? That God has given us the garment of praise for what? The spirit of heaviness. And sometimes we don't even discern it. We can't even recognize it. Oh, glory to God. And so there are times when our knowledge of God's word. No, that's not. Knowledge of God's word. Knowing what the word has to say. So I begin to praise it. But some people, they don't have knowledge. And so they walk around heavy. Come on. And that was one of the things that prophetess was interceding for. She was interceding for people that were battling the spirit of heaviness. Come on. You weighed down. You feel like you're defeated. Come on. You feel like God is 100 miles away. Come on, you feel like you're separated from him, like you're in Nazareth and he's in Capernaum. Come on, somebody. You stuck on the porch spinning your wheels and ain't going nowhere. Heavy. Feel like you're carrying 100,000 pounds on your back. Then there are people that are oppressed. Somebody say oppressed. Write it down. Write it down. Oppressed. Definition of oppressed is prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment or control. The enemy's controlling you. The enemy wants to keep you in a place, oh glory to God, of cruel treatment, unjust treatment. He wants to buffet you, beat you. Come on, he don't want to do it for a short period of time. Oppressed means a prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment. He want to beat on you. He beat on you in 2020. He beat on you in 2021. He wants to beat on you again in 2022. But somebody say the devil is a liar. Come on. This is a new season. This is a new day. Come on, somebody. I'm coming up out of this. If I got to praise, but the buck stops here. Come on. Oh, glory to God. What you did in 2019, 2020, 2021, you will not be doing it in 2022. Because God's about to do something new. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. I don't know where that came from, but anyways. I'm out there now. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Somebody's, and so some of the reasons why we got to make somebody say intervention. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Intercession is the action of intervening on behalf of another person. Oh, glory to God. So intercession. Some people, oh, glory to God, they're depressed. They're depressed. You have oppression and then you have depression. Feeling of severe despondency, dejection, self-doubt. Oh, glory to God. This is why it's so important. Can I tell you something? This is why it's so important that you don't compare yourself to nobody else. You don't compare your finances to nobody else. There was a time when I was making more than my wife. Now my wife make more than me. I don't beat myself up. I enjoy the sorry, but I'm just telling it like it is. Come on. I know. Well, I help pray to them. Come on. Man, I pray for promotions. I decree and declare promotions over my family. Hey, they breaking out with these promotions. Sometimes I might be like okay, Lord, what's going on with me now? You know, but guess what? I played a part in those promotions. Oh, glory to God. And so the enemy fights the people of God. Come on. Wants to paralyze. When you paralyze, you stuck. You can't move forward. You can't move backwards. Better yet, you can't even move. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God.
And the Lord say, you've seen nothing yet what I am going to do, because this year will be different, saith the Lord. Breakthrough is on its way. Receive it in Jesus' name.
Somebody clap your hands and say, I receive that. Amen. What was so amazing is that, because sometimes we don't know how to receive stuff. I was talking with Dave. I think I was talking with him that Sunday, and he was saying that, you know, yeah, he said, I got turned down for jobs because of I didn't take the COVID shot. And I said, well, now since, because when did the president, he sent out 4 o'clock in the morning, they sent a letter out saying that he dropped all of his demands. I can't think of it. Everything's dropped. All of that stuff. Oh, glory to God. All that stuff is dropped. And so I told him, I said, they done dropped all of that stuff. And so I said, hey, you know, so don't even think that way now. I said, you know, hey, God got a job. I begin to encourage him. And he says, I receive that. Oh, glory to God. What was that? What was that? Tuesday or something? Okay. And then, praise God. I think, I don't know if it was a day or two later, he was calling me and said, man, I went for an interview and I got a job. Oh, glory to God. Now, the amount of money he told me he was getting made and he wanted to move to Tennessee. I'm sitting there saying, oh, my father, I done got all off the message. Ooh, but I'm telling you, I was like, man, they paying good out there in Tennessee.
Yeah, man.
When me and my wife went to Tennessee, seemed like everybody had a big truck, a new truck. I mean, I wasn't even hardly seeing no old vehicles, no old trucks. And they had more truck dealerships than you could shake a stick at in Tennessee. Oh, glory to God. And so, and then somebody say lazy. Some people stuck because they're lazy. Uh-oh. I heard my wife saying Jesus on that one. Some of us stuck because we're lazy. Don't want to pray. Don't want to fast. Oh, glory to God. So they need help. Somebody say intercession. Intercession. So here we see the Bible says that there was four men. There was four men. Stay right there 1 second. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. I want to show you something before.
An example.
Doing my best to follow the Lord. Is that all right? Go to Acts chapter 12. Go to Acts chapter 12. And daughter, I want you to begin to read.
Verse 1?
Yeah.
Acts 12 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword.
Uh-huh.
And because he saw that it pleased the Jews.
You know, sometimes I think that, you know, because the devil can't do anything unless God allows it. And so sometimes God even has to allow the enemy, come on, he allows the enemy to do some things to wake us up and to get us to praying. Oh, glory to God. And so the Bible says he vexed certain of the church. It means, you know, this vex, it means the buffet, the beat. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Read.
And because he saw that it pleased the Jews,
uh-huh,
he proceeded further to take Peter also.
Mm-hmm.
Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him.
Now, can I tell you something? The Bible says that he saw that it pleased the Jews when they took James and they killed James. And some of us don't understand that some things, and I was just talking with a pastor last night, that some people's death is premature. We don't like to talk about this here stuff, but some people get taken out. It wasn't God's will for James to get taken out. It wasn't God's will for James to die. Come on, somebody. There are some things that is just not God's will. Oh, glory to God. There are sometimes it's because we're lazy. We're sitting around watching, come on, our favorite shows. Oh, glory to God. Nowadays, you don't even know what folks look like because everybody's face is in the phone. You walk through the mall and you'd be lucky to see two faces. You go out to dinner. I think my wife used to have a policy, no cell phones at the table, but I think she done got a little lax on that policy. But yeah. And so James died prematurely. Come on, somebody. And what? Read. See, because I'm going to say something. Man, when my wife went through the battle of cancer, the devil is a lie. I went to battle. Come on. I did what I had to do. I fasted.
Yes.
Come on. I thank God that I had intercessors in this place.
Yes.
People to intercede. I wasn't the only one. There was people that were fasting and praying. Come on, because you ain't going to get that in every church. You're going to get some folks to say, I'm praying for you. I'll be praying for you. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. But you know, I don't need you saying, God, remember brother so-and-so. Come on, somebody. I need you, oh, glory to God, saying, I bind the strong man of the spirit of infirmity. Come on, I need you fighting the good fight of faith. I need some folks like the hurricane who can stand up and start a wind up in the...
You are listening to WWBC COCO, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI COCO, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL COCO, 99.9 FM.
Oswald Chambers wrote, "Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work." For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Back in ninth grade, I was what you might call a knucklehead. Even worse, I was a Christian school knucklehead. 6 days a week, from as early as I could remember, between Bible classes and Sunday school class, I was in the same building. But I spent most of my time on basketball and girls, in that order, and didn't have much of a faith that I could call my own. Around Christmas in December of 1990, I met someone who would dramatically change my life. On the last day of class before break, instead of a much-anticipated Christmas party, the boys' senior high Bible class was sent out in twos to visit the elderly shut-ins of our church. Now, I'm sure the intention was to bring Christmas cheer to folks not physically able to get out anymore, but as you might imagine, the only thing we wanted to do less than schoolwork on the last day of class before Christmas break was to visit two old people we'd never met. I was paired with my friend Brian, who shared my disdain for this assignment, but he had an idea. He suggested that we go visit one person and then say we couldn't find the other person's house, and that way we'd be done early and could go to the mall. And that's how I met Miss Buckner. Miss Buckner was an 89-year-old widow. She came to the door when we knocked, invited us inside. There was, shall we say, a pretty significant generation gap in that room. We didn't know what to talk about. She didn't really know what to talk about either. Just when we thought it couldn't possibly get any more awkward, Miss Buckner suggested that we sing Christmas carols together. We stumbled our way through Silent Night, and she decided that one carol was enough. "Well, Miss Buckner," Brian said, "we'd best be on our way." "Yeah," I lied, "we still have to visit another person before going back to school." And that's when she asked, "Well, before you go, can we pray together?" So I prayed, and Brian prayed, and that took about 45 seconds total. And then Miss Buckner prayed. At that point in my life, I'd probably heard thousands of prayers, but there was just something different about this one. Miss Buckner spoke to God as if she knew him, with a confidence and a humility that only comes when you're certain that someone's listening. We left Miss Buckner's house and headed to the mall, hoping to meet some girls, but Brian and I agreed along the way that Miss Buckner really was a pretty cool old lady. 2 years later, and to this day, I still have no idea why, I woke up thinking about Miss Buckner. I was even less interested in spiritual things at that time, but I ended up going back down that same windy road to her house. I knocked. Miss Buckner came to the door. I said, "Well, you probably don't remember me, but I was here about 2 years ago with a friend of mine named Brian." Miss Buckner looked at me and smiled and said, "John, I prayed for you this morning." Miss Buckner eventually became a pretty close friend, and she prayed for me every day for the rest of her life. I have no idea to this day what she has prayed me into or out of. In so many ways, the gap between generations today is more pronounced than ever.